All right, no problem.
Welcome to Ray and Tay. Today it's Wednesday.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and thanks for joining us on the ride. We're going to have a lot of fun today, man, and Ray will break it down for you. But you want to join us, get involved, be connected, enjoy sports, have fun. It's March Madness, people, you know? 718-664-9098. Call in, give us your final four picks, talk about some NFL free agency, the Dominican Republic. Just join us. You can also hit us up on the email, rayandtaytoday.com. That's our website. And then the email is rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Our website, you can join the brackets. We're doing the bracket thing on ESPN. So our group is Ray and Tay Today. Join us there. You know, compete against us, have some fun. It's all for fun. And, you know, we got to talk about these picks, Ray, because, you know, listen, you know Tay, I go crazy. I got like 30 sheets, so I'm everywhere.
Well, that's the problem. You don't remember sometimes.
Well,
you know what, though?
I do remember. I do, because I write down who the winner is, even in my upset brackets or whatever. But what I do is I still do one official one that I just filled out for the Ray and Tay site, and we'll talk about that for, you know, who's going to win that. But, yeah, tell them what we're doing and tell them who we're having on the show. The number 12 seed Oregon Ducks representative.
Yes, so we are joined by a true friend of the family, a friend of the show. And, you know, when you're involved with the show, you're really like family. Whether you call, whether you text, whether you email, whether you tweet, we consider you part of the family. So thank you, fam. And thank you for – yeah, exactly. Thank you for representing and helping us, you know, help share some sports with you. So, yeah, on this show, we've got a friend, George Reister, former NFL tight end, former Oregon Duck. Last time we talked was right before the Super Bowl. He was very excited because he had Oregon Ducks on both sides of the coin. So he had some 49ers that went to Oregon, and he had some Ravens that went to Oregon. So obviously his Raven Oregons are happier. But let's get into what we're talking about today. We've got breaking news, as we always do. We go around the world of sports, bringing you some breaking news. So on this episode, we'll talk about the WBC finals. So the Dominicans, Los Dominicanos, they took care of business. They took care of Puerto Rico. We'll get into some NFL talk. There'll be some rule changes. We'll get into a little bit of that. College basketball, of course, we've got, you know, the NCAA tournament. We've got a whole segment on that. But before we get into that, we've got this new formation of the Big East, or this reincarnation of the Big East. We've got some NFL Pro Days. So that's all in breaking news. We'll talk a little bit about the NBA. We've got two teams that are streaking, one in the East, one in the West. We've got some players on the men, some injured players returning. And then we'll dedicate the second half of the show to NCAA March Madness. Even though technically the tournament started already on Tuesday, I call them playing games. They're technically round one, so round two starts tomorrow. But really, really?
Well, shout out to North Carolina A&T, who was my pick, and you went with Liberty. Why you acting all Aggie? The Aggies won, so we got to shout them out, man.
How many Aggies are there? There's the Texas A&M Aggies. There's the Utah State Aggies. There's
right
the North
now,
Carolina,
it's North Carolina A&T Aggies.
A&T
Why you
Aggies.
Aggie?
Yeah, exactly.
They did their thing. They played good, and St. Mary's won. So, you know. Now,
yeah, so we've got some.
Go ahead.
What do you got?
No, I'm just saying.
You got something on your mind. Share it.
I'm emotional. I'm still pissed. I'm still tweeting out. Everybody knows. And we got my man, Big Tigger, you know, who from BET fame and, you know, doing the music thing all over. He's a Maryland alum and, you know, friend of mine and friend of Ray and Tay for the show and been tweeting with us. You know, all my Maryland heads are like, yo, you see Middle Tennessee State just get bumped like that, Ray. And then Maryland has a nice win in the NIT against Niagara, and you're like, yo, the Terps should have been in, man. So, you know, I'm just a little emotional, Kentucky
yeah,
goes
that
down.
Always happens.
You know, the NIT, yeah, it happens. I know. I just got to say a little something.
Well,
so,
just hope your Terps
do
some work in the NIT, and you'll be all right.
Yeah, we'll have to see what George feels. I mean, obviously, we'll talk about the Ducks and see about some of these rule changes in the NFL and stuff like that. But let's start off, man, with some of this I can't call it breaking news, but so WBC, congrats to Dominican Republic, right? 8-0 in the series, the first team to win that in the whole tournament, to go 8-0. They beat Puerto Rico three times, and their run differential was 36-14. So the Dominican, and what's so funny, Ray, they didn't even have all their best players. You could argue if everybody wants to put their best squads together, I don't know if anybody can beat Dominican Republic.
Well, good for them because they have a powerhouse team. And in a year where the WBC was a little bit disappointed, right, they had the semis and the finals up in San Francisco at the beautiful AT&T Park, they weren't selling out. They only got attendance of something like 34,000 for the semis, a little bit more for the finals. But
yeah.
I think they were a little disappointed for that. I think also they were hoping to get more of a influence from the Asian team. So maybe the Taiwanese team, the Chinese, the Japanese team, maybe if they made it to the finals, it would have been kind of a Caribbean versus Asia. You know, maybe you would have got a little bit more, you know, people showing up at the stadium. But the one thing for me as a Yankee fan is that the MVP was Robinson Cano. And he's probably the only bright light that the Yankees have right now offensively when it comes to power. So this guy put up unbelievable stats. I mean, he went 469, two homers, six RBIs, and six runs scored in eight games for our boy Robinson, number 24.
Wow.
So that's my bright light in this WBC.
When you say that, you tease me in the sense because I think about Robbie and where our Yankees are at, but guess what? Just like my ankle's been hurting the last couple of days, so has Derek Jeter's. And I could tell you with the broken ankle, I'm two surgeries in and 2 years out, and it's still a little tender to the bone. Derek Jeter, you know, definitely him, a much better athlete than me and younger than me, he's still having some issues though, Ray. That ankle, he's probably going to start the season on the DL. Cashman, you know, said today he doesn't want to say definitely, but it doesn't look like he's going to be in the starting lineup. So you're talking about us not having Granderson, Jeter, and Teixeira to start the season, along
wow.
with A-Rod out. That's rough. That is really, really rough. So
and losing,
we'll talk
we
about,
said losing 130 homers, too, from last year.
Oh, God.
You know, with Swisher gone and Russell Martin gone and a whole bunch of other, you know, power hitters, the Yankees have a power outage, and now they have a talent outage as well with, you know Teixeira out till the end of May and Jeter potentially missing some games. So a lot of pressure on Youkilis, on Cano, on Ichiro. You know, these veterans are really expected to pull more than their fair share, especially in the first 2 months of the season.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting, and definitely just to let everybody know, we're going to do our baseball preview show. The season starts the 31st, but Ray and Tay will give our predictions and breakdowns on our Wednesday, April 3rd show. And I'll just have to say it, man, with a special guest, the former catcher for the Giants and Padres, Bob Brenly, former manager of the 2001 after the 9/11, the Diamondbacks, when they beat the Yankees, probably one of the most important World Series in baseball history, right? I mean, because it was American history, just emotionally what was going on in the country, and the Diamondbacks beat the Yankees, and Bob Brenly was the head manager, you know, was the manager of the team then, and then now he's the broadcaster for the Diamondbacks, had been with Fox and the Chicago Cubs or whatever. So we're going to, you know, and he does the playoffs for TBS and TNT. So Bob Brenly's great, and we'll have him on the show with Ray and Tay today doing our baseball preview, April 3rd. So stay tuned for that. But I want to ask you, what's going on? We're going to talk about college hoops, but is this official with the Big East, the new Big East? Break it down for our audience. You know, I think you got some information. So tell us, what are they doing? And are the three teams that were going to come in 2014, are they coming next year?
So it looks like the Big East is formed. The new Big East, introducing your new Big East Conference. Now, you know, I say this with a heavy heart, but I guess I need to just get over myself and say that, you know, the 1979 and then they, you know, modified it in 82 and 83. The Big East of the early 80s is gone.
Yeah.
So it looks like the Big East is now going to be comprised of, as of today, is going to be comprised of the Catholic Seven, and then they're going to add three more teams, Butler, Creighton, and Xavier. And that is going to give them a 10-team league for now, and they might expand to 12 at some point. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is the new Big East Conference.
So anyway, so it's Creighton, Xavier, and
Creighton,
Butler?
Butler, Xavier are the three additions to the seven Catholic schools.
And the seven is what? St. John, Seton Hall.
Seton Hall, Providence, Villanova. Who are we forgetting? Marquette.
Oh, Marquette's staying.
DePaul.
Cincinnati.
No. Cincinnati's leaving. UConn's leaving. Syracuse is leaving. Pitt's leaving. West Virginia's leaving. All the state schools left, and so you're left with those Catholic Seven that are really basketball
Providence.
First.
Yeah,
schools.
Providence, Seton Hall. Okay. St. John's, yeah. All right, well, I mean, listen, I think also eventually St. Louis and somebody else is coming because I think they were talking about getting 12.
Yeah.
And
so for now,
one,
they've got 10. They need at least a 10 to become one of these, you know, basketball power conferences.
Oh, okay.
So they get
well,
to retain the name.
Nice. Yeah. That's
Look,
gonna be pretty
and at
good.
The end of the day, yeah, most of these schools, seven of the school, certainly the Catholic schools, most of them were the conference was built on their backs, you know. So St. John's and Seton Hall and Providence and all these guys are legit, right?
All right,
My point was that there's got to be, I don't know, there's got to be an end to this. Maybe there isn't, you know, but at a certain point,
it's all
geography
driven by football.
Doesn't matter right anymore, and it's all driven about Saturdays, you know, college football Saturdays.
Well, you know what's interesting to me? I mean, look at we know Pitt and Syracuse are going, right? But then UConn and Louisville, who've got good football programs, they're also going to the ACC. So ACC is just going to be, I mean, first of all, like, what, 16 to 18 teams? But it's going to be loaded.
And then they have Notre Dame sort of with one foot in, one foot out. But, yeah, ACC has become a mega conference.
Yeah,
they might be the conference. I mean, SEC is obviously the conference in football, you know, seven straight national champions. But the ACC, if you think about the two power sports being basketball and football.
Well, they'll dominate in basketball, but they'll improve in football, right? Syracuse, Pitt,
yeah.
A couple of Notre Dame games. Louisville's getting better at football, you know, so they'll definitely improve. Hey, so let me ask you this, and we'll get into it more with George, but just real quick before we get to this NBA, some of these rule changes in the NFL, you know, we'll talk to the free agency and stuff with George, but some of these rule changes, I just got to ask your opinion.
Let's talk the Tuck rule.
Yeah, the Tuck rule's gone. That's fine with me. I wonder about this, and also they'll even review calls even if, you know, the coach doesn't have any more, you know, flags left, if it's a thrown flag or whatever, challenge, yeah. But then the third one is about the helmet, lowering the helmet, yeah, and leading with the crown. Now, most players don't tend to do that. They showed a couple examples where they did. I guess it's going to be in the referee's hands. I just wonder, like, that's a lot for the referees to discern. They've got so much on their plate already. And the penalty will not be from the line of scrimmage. It will be from where it happens. So if you run for 50 yards, wherever you hit them at the head, they'll take the 15 yards back. So that's not too bad. But I don't know. This could be a little tricky to sort of navigate. We'll see, though.
So I don't mind. You know what? At first I was like, what are they doing? You know, why are they changing it? It's working
Marshall
just fine.
Was killing them.
You know what? But I actually think that they have a chance to you know, this might not be that bad. I think that the intention is okay, because they're saying the major theme is player safety and don't use your head as a weapon. Okay, that sounds good to me. Don't use your helmet as a weapon. And you know what? You shouldn't be able to use your helmet as a weapon or as an offensive player either. Now, even though, there's one player on the field that I really feel for is running backs, because they get hammered, and they have an average shelf life of about 6 minutes. But this
yeah,
notion
fresh, you're
that,
on.
Exactly. So this notion that we can't have offensive players, hurting defensive players, that's not true either. So I actually think that the intent is fine. I think that the offensive players can't use the crown of their helmet. Now listen to the rule. It's you can't use the crown of your helmet as a weapon in the open field.
Right.
So that sounds reasonable to me. Now, like you say, right. It's going to be hard. Now, what's the difference between dipping your shoulder and trying to, blow up a defender in kind of a legal, offensive, aggressive way? Versus dipping your head and using the crown of your helmet. So that's where the refs are going to have, maybe a tough time, especially if it's down the field. Because if it's in traffic, anything goes. But if it's down the field, so what you'll have is maybe one guy, because let's say, it's a 20, 30-yard breakaway by Adrian Peterson. Now, he's going to have, downfield, like a line judge or somebody way down the field, basically having to make this call, and he's got to look for – he really won't have any help. He's got to look for the ball, if he's in bounds, if he's not, and he's also got to look for, how he makes contact. So I think the refs will adjust. I think the theme is okay, player safety. So I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the rule.
Yeah. No, I feel you. And then obviously the chop blocks, and we all kind of agree with that, with the, sort of like protected defenders. That's how Brian Cushing got hurt. So that one is, you can't cut back and get somebody, and then they have it balanced on the field goal. When you're kicking field goal, to make sure the line is balanced, you can't knock the center off. You have to let him snap it and put his head up. You can't just bang him down while he's sort of defenseless. And then the tight ends, they changed it so you can wear numbers between 40 and 49 now if you're sort of a tight end H-back. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Okay.
So the owners' meetings and all that stuff. So man, let's hoop it up. Let's hoop it up before we get to college hoops and we have George join us. Miami Heat going for 24 in a row tonight. They've done 23 in a row. LeBron James is out of his mind. The dunk on Jason Terry the other night, the jump shot to go up, he hit it with confidence. They win 105-103. The Heat are on fire and they're incredible. And we talked about the streak a while ago, and we predicted out, games, where it could go to. They go, they got to play the Bulls. The Knicks come into town for, game 28 or 29. Then they go to San Antonio, game 30, and it looks like they would tie the Lakers against the Sixers, who they've already beat twice in this road, and then they would win. They'd break it at 34 at home against Milwaukee. It's amazing, and I think they might do it. Unless they lose to San Antonio
really?
On the 30th, I think they might do it, man. I think they're that focused. They're not taking any nights off. And the key is the health of Dwayne Wade. He looks great. You don't have to give them some respect and props.
I'm taking the other side of that. I'm just saying that there's going to be a night where it's going to be close and their threes don't land. And it's hard
that
for me
in Boston,
to think.
Though. Ray Allen played
it
horrible.
It did. And Boston had him. Boston was up 13, 14, deep into into the third, going into the fourth
quarter.
7 minutes,
8 minutes left, yeah.
But
great comeback.
I don't know. It's still hard against professionals. Remember how when pro athletes lose the game, they say, we're playing against professionals, right? They're paid, too. They're paid to win, too. So 23 in a row is unbelievable. And can they get 10 or 11 more to break the record? I'm going to say no. Now, granted, they're paying some terrible teams. Like Barkley would say terrible. They're just terrible.
Terrible.
Terrible. So other than, the Knicks, the San Antonio Spurs, but the Knicks are reeling. The Spurs and maybe Milwaukee, pretty much sub 500 teams. I mean, the teams – oh, and Chicago. They're playing you know, Cleveland, Detroit, Charlotte, Orlando, Chicago, New Orleans,
yeah,
San Antonio, the Knicks, Charlotte,
feeders, yeah.
Philly, and Milwaukee. So three playoff teams in the next 11. So then you think, okay, are they going to hit a back-to-back? Well, they've got a Sunday-Monday back-to-back, but that's Charlotte and Orlando. And then they've got a Friday-Saturday back-to-back, which is Charlotte and Philly. So, you know,
yeah,
I
do it right. Listen, it's impressive no matter what. It's already the second best streak ever, and it's impressive. It just is, and I think what's more impressive is that they're probably on their way to winning their second straight title, and I think LeBron is just, he's in another place. And, you know, as a Knicks fan, we're, you know, a game and a half behind the Pacers for the second seed and only a game up on the Nets for the Atlantic Division. And my Knicks, our Knicks, are banged up and struggling. Melo comes back tonight against Orlando, but Chandler's out for a week or two, and Kurt Thomas is out 2-4. Amari may be the first round. It's disheartening. It's definitely disheartening for me. But let me ask you this. That's great. But out west is a little team called the Nuggets, the Denver Nuggets, who are
the Nuggies.
Fifth seed. 13 in a row, they are literally right there to be the fourth seed. I mean, obviously the Clippers have, you know, would have the edge for winning their division. But, I mean, at 47-22, and the Clippers are 46-22, you know, the Nuggets are – they just beat Orlando last night, and they won the season series 3-1. They're beating – they've got to go to the Spurs – but they've beaten the Clippers, Memphis, all these teams on this 13-game streak. They've beaten all of them. I'm telling you that the Nuggets, if they could ever get in there, you know, they'd have to win the division, so I don't know if they can do that. But if they could, they could win on, they win one game on the road, man, this team could really advance this year in the playoffs. I think that they're really
starting to
step up.
So if I told you that a team with Ty Lawson, Wilt Chandler, Andre Iguodala, Danilo Gallinari, and Kenneth Faried, and I think that's probably the top five scorers right there, with the addition of, you know, Andre Miller and Corey Brewer and JaVale McGee, would
respect
be
my Faried, yo.
Fourth in the Western Conference. Let's say fourth, right? But basically fourth, tied with for all intents and purposes, let's say they're tied with the LA Clippers. 47-22. You'd say, what? Who? The Denver Nuggets? I mean, I know all these players, and I know they're all good, but they don't have a star. And ever since they traded Melo, they've gone with that starless approach. And Carl seems to, you know, get his teams to play. Their Achilles heel is obviously half-court execution and half-court offense and a little bit of defense. But maybe this team is different. I don't know. Look, I've been knocking them, and I think that certainly on the road, and if they're the fifth seed, they are going to be a first-round one-and-done. But
it's hard
the
to
more
trust
they
them.
Play together, yeah, the more they play together and the more they develop their, you know, end-of-game rotation and who's going to take your shot. Again, I come back to it's a slower game in the playoffs. You're playing in the 80s and 90s in the playoffs. And, you know, is Ty Lawson going to hit your shot for you? Is it Danilo Gallinari? Are you going to play through Iguodala, who's more of a complimentary player? That's my problem with Denver. But you know what? Good for them. It's a fun team to watch. They seem to like to play with each other. And it's refreshing. Even though we love Carmelo
and
even though we love
Barkley. And they run you out the gym,
Ray.
They
right.
run you
and
out
I'm saying,
the gym.
Even though we love these teams with stars, you know, especially in the playoffs, it starts to get, you know, it's just so – I don't want to say boring, but it's not – you don't get jazzed up to see Carmelo dribble and dribble and dribble and back you down and back you down and pass it out and get it back and back you down and back you down, turn around and maybe he makes a shot. I mean, Denver's offense is just beautiful, and the way they share it and the way they move it around and the way that they have, what, six guys in double figures? I mean, that's great. So it's a fun team to watch. It's great. I'd love to be a Denver fan. I'm a little bit worried about them in the playoffs, but you know what? they're giving us some entertainment. And 13 in a row is pretty sweet. People tend to forget because Miami's winning 23 in a row. But that 13 in a row, that's pretty impressive.
Oh, it's tremendous. And I think I was most impressed with going into OKC last night and winning. OKC started off early. Like, I was like, oh, poor Denver. And they just came in and tore it up, man. So, you know, I think they're at a place now where they're starting to get that swagger, you know. They really are. And but, you know, let's talk about some of these injuries. I mean, everybody's banged up in the NBA and you know, Kobe's, you know, they're in the eighth seed. But the Lakers, they got to get healthy. They're one game off, you know, behind Houston and one game ahead of Utah. Seems like Golden State has sort of solidified that sixth spot. But it's going to be interesting, the stretch run. And, you know, we'll obviously get into the NBA more as, you know, we get into the playoffs.
Well, we got Melo and Garnett hopefully coming back, though. So that's good. Kobe's
right,
out, but
tonight,
maybe Melo and Garnett
yeah.
coming back.
Yeah, nah, it'll be definitely good, I think, for the Knicks fans to have Melo back, man. But you know what? George is about to join us. We got some brackets. It's on and popping.
You ready to hoop it up? You're not ready.
You know, I tell you, this is so exciting to me. And real quick, shout out for the Robert Morris and the NIT for beating Kentucky. St. John's came back and beat St. Joe's. Maryland killed Niagara. So now St. John's gets to play UVA, and my Maryland Terps, we get to play Denver. What do you know about Denver, yo?
Yo, Terps?
So let me ask you this. I mean, obviously George is going to, you know, talk about his Ducks. I got them in a couple of my brackets beating Oklahoma State. I don't know if either one of them could advance, obviously, in the next round because that matchup – that Florida matchup against the number 4 seed, St. Louis. Can you see St. Louis beating Louisville? Because I know I can. That St. Louis team. This is Rick Majerus' team, remember, and they were good last year. But now they're sort of at the next level with their new coach, Cruz, who's done a great job, man. I mean, but this is
you
Rick's
know
team.
What? Everything is possible, especially with that Louisville team that – is so erratic. And when they're playing well, remember 3 weeks ago they weren't even in the top 10, and now everybody's like, oh, they're number one team, number one seed overall, you know? So can they? Yes, I definitely believe they can lose to St. Louis. But at the end of the day, I don't see St. Louis knocking them off. I mean, I think the only team in that bracket that's got a real, real shot is coming from the bottom half, Michigan State or Duke. I think Louisville is good to the final eight.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I mean, we're going to give our picks, you know, after, you know, George joins us and give our final four. But, you know, when you're just talking about the bracket itself, I think it's such a strong region that it's like almost, you know, it's almost unfair. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. And for me, you know, I love a bunch of teams. I mean, you know, you can say Louisville, if they get into one of their ruts with get sloppy with the ball and turnovers, like we saw, you know, Siva do, it won't matter about your boy Gorgie and some of the other bigger guys, Bohannon. You know, I mean, if Siva is not controlling the rock like he needs to, real rock from the rock, yeah, they could lose to St. Louis. Because St. Louis is deep. St. Louis goes like eight deep of quality players. And they're athletic and they play smart. And look, they beat Butler 3 times. They're tested in their own conference. The A-10's got 5 teams. You know, we know the Big East has got whatever. Oh, also, man, we got to tell the audience, go to RayandTateToday.com and check out some of the poll questions. We, you know, we ask people what number one seed has the best shot to win it all and what conferences will do the best. You know, you got the Big Ten versus the Big East. You got the WCC, you know, different conferences. And, you know, it's just kind of fun and just get people, you know, giving their opinions. Man, there's a lot of college basketball love going along, you know, right now on Twitter and stuff. And, you know, people are really into it and into the tournament. Who's your one upset team? Like that you think can, you know, do you like the Belmont? Do you like Davison? Who's your team that you're like, I think they're going to get one?
So remember we said that every year, what, for 17, the last 18 years, I forget the number, of a 5 has lost to a 12. So 12s typically will knock off a 5. But I'll give you an upset of a 14 seed. I like Davidson. I like Davidson to knock out Marquette. And I know you like Marquette, and I think that tough Big East does them well. But I think that Davidson might sneak up on somebody, namely Marquette, and bite them. And they might, you might get yourself a 14 upset over a 3. So we'll see. Wait, we got our caller. I think George is ready to join us, ready to talk some Oregon Ducks. Hey, George, is that you?
Yes, it's George.
Hey, how you doing? George, welcome back.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Well, it's great to have you, man. We were saying earlier, man, when you get to, you know, we consider all of our listeners like family, but definitely when you're a guest to the show and you know, having you on a second time is like having family on. So we really appreciate you joining us, man. But listen, it's hot on Twitter. It's hot everywhere. I mean, we know that, you know, games started yesterday and we got some games today. Shout out to the Aggies. We were talking about them. But what's going on with the Ducks, man? Can you really beat Oregon State? I think you guys can. I mean, no, I heard some folks on Twitter saying, oh, they don't think you guys can win the first round, and I know you feel differently. So talk to us about the Ducks and just overall what are you thinking about your Pac-12 representatives in this tournament?
Well, one of the things I think about the Ducks is they were a little bit unexpected this season. They were projected to finish lower in the Pac-12 than they actually did, and then to come out and win the Pac-12 tournament was a big deal. But at the same time, we do play Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma State has been pretty good this year. But if we play like we did in the middle of the season, when we climbed all the way up into almost the top 10, and then we had a few injuries and fell back like that, if we can get that mid-season form back, I think we have a chance to make a good run in the tournament.
Yeah, to me, the seeding, I would have been angry up there in Eugene for all the fans and obviously the alums. You know, a team that wins the Pac-12 ends up getting a 12 seed. You know, I think that even the computer statistics said that you guys should probably have been an 8 seed or a 9 seed. So you guys, by virtue of being a 12 seed, have to play a pretty decent Oklahoma State team at number 5.
Yeah, see, I was very shocked.
Hello? Yeah, I think we got George in
some technical difficulties.
Bad spot. But no, I know what he's saying, that, you know, they probably should have been 8-9 somewhere in there. I think that, you know, Duck fans. But, you know, I think what's so great, once all the controversy goes down, you just got to do it on the court. You know, and I think even George would attest to that being – you know, a big tight end in the college football for the Ducks and then playing for the Jags. You know, once you have the opportunity to line up and lace them up, football, baseball, basketball, you got to go prove yourself. And I think the Ducks have that shot to do that. I think Oklahoma State is tested, but I don't know. The Big 12 was kind of down this year. So I do think, you know, Oregon playing against UCLA and Arizona and Cal, those teams to me are a little bit stronger than – you know, besides Kansas and Kansas State, I think the Big 12 doesn't really have. You know, they got Oklahoma in there, but I don't love Oklahoma, this team. And Texas was down and some of their teams. So I think the Pac-12, even though they didn't get much respect in seeding, maybe they'll do pretty good in the tournament, you know.
Yeah, they took a big hit with UCLA, with Jordan Adams going down. But yeah, they got a handful of teams in the tournament.
There we go. George, you there?
Yes, I'm back.
Yeah,
oh,
no,
good.
No. So we were just saying, like, that the seeding, I think, you know, it wasn't necessarily fair. But I was saying the Big 12 didn't have a big year either. So I know Oklahoma State, you know, they showed well in their conference. But I think the Pac-12 overall, you guys didn't get respect in seeding. But I do think your teams and your conference is a little bit deeper than the Big 12 this year. Obviously, you got Kansas State, and Oklahoma State. I don't think Oklahoma's that tough. But I like Arizona. I like Cal. I like UCLA, even though they lost Jordan Adams. And I think your Oregon team, What's your star player? What's the player that was injured and came back? I always forget his name.
Oh, Azeemi.
Yes. And so now he's sort of rocking and rolling again, and you guys are going to make some noise. I definitely think that.
Yeah, that's one of the things that Oregon has been able to do all season. I mean, when you look at their box score every single game, it seems like a different guy is leading in the score, from Kazemi, Dotson, to any one of those guys has been really, really effective. And Singler has put up some big stats also this year. So I think that we have a good chance to do well. Another Pac-12 team that really could surprise somebody, I don't think they'll go deep in the tournament, but can really surprise UNLV, is Cal. I mean, they do have the Pac-12 player in the year in Alan Crabb on their team, which is a big deal when you think about a conference player of the year, the guy who can really score the basketball and take over the game just in general.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because we were talking about, you know, the Pac-12 and Oregon was a Pac-12 champ. And one of the things that it reminded me of, the segment before, we talked about the Denver Nuggets. So the Oregon Ducks look a lot like the Denver Nuggets. They really don't have a go-to scorer. They have four or five guys that average around double figures. And the question for them is also, you know, who do you go to? Now, unlike that, Cal, like you said, is the complete opposite. Grabs the guy. You know, he's the man. Everybody in the gym knows that he's going to get the ball, and he's the go-to guy. Now, UNLV has a go-to guy as well, so it'll be interesting. That's a nice, that's more classic matchup of, you know, two college basketball teams. They both have their star player, and it'll be, you know, which star shines bright.
Yeah, and that's one thing that's really been interesting and unique about this college football, I mean, this college basketball season in general, is that you don't have that one star that you can point to as far as the player of the year, the top two guys, because last year you had Anthony Davis. The year before that, you had Kemba Walker. I mean, in every single year there, you have a star player or one or two star players that are really dominating the headlines. But this year, you don't know where your national player of the year is going to come from. The kid from Indiana could be it. The kid from Gonzaga. I mean, it's really a toss-up. And the team name on the front of the jersey is really taking precedence over the stars in the individual players. The schools and the coaches are really the stars this year.
That's
George,
a great point. It's kind of ironic. Wait, let me just say this. It's kind of ironic that in the year that we don't have a runaway player of the year, we don't have a runaway best team. So we've had 6, 7, 8 teams that, you know, were in and around that top spot and could have been number one seeds. So it's kind of nice that in the same year those two things happen. There's not a great team and there's not a great player that separated himself from everybody else.
Yeah, I think that makes things very interesting for people picking brackets. I mean, you have all type of teams from the Big Ten has had Michigan, Indiana, Michigan State ranked very high all year, and then Ohio State also. But then you have teams like New Mexico and the teams out in the Big West or in the Mountain West, like UNLV, who's ranked the top this year. So you never know what's going to happen.
Exactly, and I was going to ask you about that, man, George. Why don't you give us a little insight, man? Who's your Final Four? I mean, do you kind of go big teams and, like, you know, top seeds, or do you have some upsets? Are you liking Louisville, Indiana? Give us a little insight. What's your bracket looking like?
Well, it's hard for me to go against Louisville because they're playing really, really good right now. And you know, you really want to necessarily pick all the number one seeds. It's hard to go against them. Even though they did come out of the smaller this year, the thing I liked that they did, they dominated the people that they were supposed to dominate. They didn't play in those games with. So I like.
Yeah, we're losing you a bit. Were you talking about
St.
Louis?
Yeah, we got
a
bad connection.
Was he talking about St. Louis or Gonzaga?
Yeah, I like Gonzaga coming out of that part, coming out of the West. Man, then coming out of the South, I think that you could have a number of teams. Either Michigan, Florida could show up, and Georgetown has actually spent their offense up some. So this could be a year where you could see Georgetown finally get over the hump of that Sweet 16, where they've and stop getting knocked out in the second round. Exactly. And then in the East, a lot of people are picking Miami to come out of the East, but I can't really see them coming out of the East. I think they're just too young and too inexperienced right now. They've been playing a little up and down all year. And the surprise that you could see coming out of there would either be, it really could be Syracuse coming out of there.
I like the Syracuse team. Yeah,
I don't think Butler is going to make a run this year like they did the previous 2 years, and I don't think that Marquette has a chance, because I think that Colorado has a chance to upset Illinois and then upset the winner of the Marquette-Davidson game, which I think could be Davidson also.
Right. But so, you don't like Indiana coming out of there?
I think Indiana does have a chance, but that's the one bracket I'm going with the upset. I'm going with Syracuse out of the East.
Oh, okay. So you got a one seed in Louisville, you got a one seed in Gonzaga, you've got a lower seed in the East, and then in the South, you've got what, a Florida or a Michigan, you said?
Yeah, either Florida or Michigan out of the South.
So a three or a four seed. All right. I like that, mixing it up.
But at the same time, don't be surprised. Do not go to sleep on VCU, though. Because you've seen what they've done the last couple of years in the tournament, and they're athletic and they're fast, and that's a team that could sneak into that Final Four or Elite Eight, really. Kansas, where they could be upsetting Kansas in the Sweet 16.
It's funny because if VCU didn't have Akron's a tough 12 seed actually. So VCU, for a five seed, has to hit Akron, and then guess what? They have to hit Michigan, who 2 weeks ago was a number one seed, last week was a number two seed, and now they're a number four seed. So I really like VCU, but only thing is for all you VCU fans out there, for all of our listeners in Richmond, they've
Michigan's
got
a tough
rough
out right there.
Draw. Yeah, they got a rough draw to get to Kansas, even. But, Shaka Smart's put together a nice little program. It's nice to see coaches at mid-majors do well and stay and keep the tradition going. So good for him.
Well,
good for VCU.
Well, at the same time, though, too, is that when you have coaches do that, like a Shaka Smart and then the coach at Gonzaga, I think they're just committed to making the programs good. And then they get some recruits, and then once they start being able to recruit, then there's no need for him to leave. I mean, you look at Duke before Krzyzewski got there. What was Duke? Nothing.
Yeah.
So there have been a number of teams that are basketball schools now that weren't anything before a certain coach got there and they built up the program. So unlike football, where you have to have a whole lot of money behind the program to really be successful, in basketball you can get a few recruiting classes that stay together for a little while and then get a couple big name recruits here and there. And in 5 or 6 years, you can have a program that's on the map. I mean, look at Butler.
Yeah, Brad
Butler.
Stevens, that's the other coach that we
Brad
should put
Stevens
in that
who
group.
Stayed. And he's being loyal. It's a great thing, and I think you make a good point. And, I just want to segue there because, as you mentioned, football, George, I'm out here in the Scottsdale-Phoenix area, and they just had the NFL meetings. And I wanted to talk to you about some of these rule changes, but also some of the big moves. I mean, you got Anquan Boldin going to the Niners, Percy Harvin to the Seahawks, Wes Welker to the Broncos. We don't know what's going to happen with Dumervil and, all the Ravens guys that have left, and we're still waiting to see what happens with Ed Reed. What are you thinking about NFL free agency as we're in, like, day 8 or 9 now? What's your take so far?
I mean, every year, everything is always so shocking, and you have these big moves. But in reality, this is what happens every single offseason, except what's happening to the Baltimore Ravens right now. I mean, it's not looking – I mean, Coach Harbaugh is a great coach, so hopefully he can rebuild the ship with the pieces that are left. But it just looks like everybody's jumping off the ship. And people weren't already in love with Flacco until he won the championship in Baltimore, because he had been playing a little inconsistent until this year's playoffs. But then they gave Flacco all the money, and that there's nothing wrong with that. But I think there's going to be the fans could harbor a little bit of bad feelings because everybody on the team left. What happens is you have they give all the quarterbacks all the money, and then they turn around and ask guys like Kruger and Ellerby to take less money to keep the team together. But then reality is if they're saying, you know what, if you paid him all the money because you feel like he's good, then you should do me the same way. Don't ask me to take a pay cut. I mean, not take as much money to keep the team together when you didn't ask him to do the same thing, and I'm very important also.
Right, and they're on their second contract, so usually that's when most NFL players will get their bigger contract and make the money. So kudos to Kruger and Ellerby. I was sort of shocked about Pollard, and right now they are really hoping they can bring Ed Reed back. I mean, I think them and the Texans are both in the range of 3 years. It's just something about the dollars, so we'll see what happens. But, you know, they're hoping that they can keep Ed Reed.
Yeah, if they can't keep Ed Reed, that team's going to fall apart because as far as the leadership goes, I mean, you lose Ray Lewis, and you lose Ed Reed, and you lose Kruger, and you lose Pollard. Like, these are guys on the defense who are really vocal leaders, and then they're instrumental in how they play. I mean, Haloti Ngata is a great player, all pro multiple times, and an Oregon Duck, by the way. But he can't do it. But as a D tackle, he can't do it all by himself.
You know, I hate to say it, but I think the minute they were put in a box and decided to give Flacco his $20 million, that they knew that this was going to happen. Because if you're a history of sports kind of guy, and I know Ozzie Newsome does his homework, he knows that keeping these championship teams together is so hard. I mean, only the Patriots really were able to do it in 01, 03, and 04.
And
the
Cowboys,
because
they signed.
You know, in the,
sorry, and
yeah, that's because
they got the and before they won championships. They paid them
right.
less, but it's because it's too late once the championship is won and those guys played well, because
right.
Then they're hot in free agency, and yeah, so it becomes a nightmare for you as a team and as an organization when you do that.
Right. So I think they actually knew this was going to happen to some degree, and I think they're hoping that Ray Rice and, you know, not as young enough and Flacco can withstand, you know, one or two down years, and then they're probably thinking about rebuilding in a couple years. And in fact, you know, a couple of people on the NFL Network and other commentators said, you know, ultimately you had to see this coming. You had to see the crystal ball that everybody would want to get their contract. And, you know, the flip side of that is you got a guy like Colin Kaepernick, who, when he goes on the market, is going to make, in his second contract, is going to make a lot of money. But until that happens, the Niners are in a huge position of strength in the sense that they're paying him, you know, maybe a little bit above the veteran's minimum. You know, he was a second-year draft pick out of Nevada. And this guy, you're going to have him for a few more years. Think about he and Flacco. Flacco, you're paying $20 million. This guy, you're paying $600,000. So think about that. That's an extra $19 million or so that you can put into other positions.
Yeah. And I think that they're going to really make an effort to get Kaepernick re-signed this season, because then they're going to be able to get him for much, much cheaper. They're going to put some incentives into his contract, and to keep him safe
yeah.
Hey George, how do you like what the Broncos have done though with Wes Welker and Dominic Rogers Cromartie and some of the moves that the Broncos have done, even the offensive lineman Vasquez from the Chargers. You think Denver is ready to make a Super Bowl run in the
AFC? They're bringing Freeney and Abraham in today.
Well, yeah, I'm not exactly sure. Is going to help that. How much?
Welker.
So Wes Welker.
Rogers Cromartie. I'm not exactly how much Rogers Cromartie is going to be able to help. He played really bad this year. So I'm not exactly sure how big of an impact player he's going to be. But at the same time, I think that guys like if they can bring in a Freeney or an Abraham to replace Doomerville, because that was a big big mistake on their part.
Well, they re-offered him a new contract, so maybe they'll be able to bring him back in, you know.
Well, hopefully, but the reality is that it won't be for that $8 million that he was that he had initially agreed to.
Right.
Yeah, and a lot of feelings were hurt on both sides. I think that, the tie doesn't go to the runner in this case. If he gets the same offer somewhere else, I think he's gone. I think Doomerville's played last games in Denver. Something is fishy there between them and the agent, and he fired the agent, and the agent hired a lawyer, and something just doesn't smell right.
No, I actually don't think that – I actually think that he would want to return to Denver because being that he did agree to take the pay cut, that means that he had resigned himself to do that and that's what it was going to be. And then if he can get the same offer and stay in Denver, as long as it's relatively close to that $8 million number, then I think it'll be okay. But there was something totally wrong with that. With the agent, what I think possibly happened is the agent may have tried to do something a little sneaky and a little because it was a 4 o'clock deadline, and I don't think that, and once they agreed, he may have thought, okay, well, if I fax the paperwork in late, then then maybe they won't release him, and then he'll get this $12 million instead. And when they didn't get that paperwork at 58, they were like, no, sir.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, definitely it's crazy, man. So, George, man, thank you for joining us. You know, and no, we can't keep you forever, and you know, we're losing you a little bit here and there, but I just want to thank you for coming on again. Listen, I hope your Ducks do well. I think you got a shot to win a game or two. So we'll be watching. You'll be watching. I think for me, for Tay, man, I'm about to, we're about to make our picks. But I got to tell you, I think I got Louisville cutting it down. But my guy all year has been Oladipo,
guy. From Indiana.
I have Indiana cutting it down.
Yeah, so it's gonna be kind of fun, man. I'll tell you this, man, one shocker I'm going to throw out to you. I'm a big Tar Heel fan. Just watch them. They might run Whiffy and Macklemore and Elijah Johnson off the floor the way Bullock and P.J. Harrison and my man McAdoo have been playing. So look out for my Tar Heels. All right. Thanks, George.
All right, George. Thanks. Take care. We'll talk to you next time.
Yeah,
so that
man.
Was great.
So,
friend of the family, right?
Yeah, George Reister, man. So listen, let's
talk sports with friends.
Definitely. And he's a true. I mean, obviously, played with the Ducks, great tight end, and played with the Jaguars, and he knows about the Ducks, and he obviously knows his college basketball too. Gave us some insight of the Pac-12. And it's great. So listen, let's break it down. The show's coming to an end. We want everybody to go to, RayandTayToday.com, and you can do your picks. You can join our group. We got the brackets up there for our tournament challenge. So Ray, let's we talked about all the regions. What's your final four, man?
So it's a crazy year. But you know what? This is fun. This is why it's fun to do your brackets. So let me start with the number one seed overall and their region. Start with Louisville. I actually don't think Louisville's going to make it. I think Louisville is going to go, and they're going to get knocked off at the bottom of the bracket by Duke. I think the Duke Blue Devils, when they're playing well, and Plumlee and Kelly up front with the shooters they have in the backcourt, I think they can catch Louisville on an inconsistent night, and they can knock them off. So I got Duke on the bottom end of that bracket. I think it's an all Big Ten grade eight. So I like Wisconsin and Ohio State. So I like Ohio State in that matchup. I know you like your boys from Wisconsin, Bergeron and Brusewitz and Jackson. And,
you know I love
and you've
them.
Got, oh, yeah, that's your boy. But so that's one side of the bracket. The other side of the bracket, so I don't think Kansas is as strong as they've been in the past. I think they get knocked off by Michigan, actually. And I think the bottom side of that bracket, Florida knocks off Georgetown. And so we got a Florida-Michigan. And, again, I'm taking another inconsistent team, but I like Florida. I think that when they're playing,
them all,
they're shooting their three guards, you know, Scotty Wilbekin and Rosario, the transfer from Rutgers, and Kenny Boykin and Murphy and Patrick Young up front. I like Florida in the Final Four. And then in the bottom, I think they were the best team all year. And over a season, they had five losses, but they were all legitimate, tough-fought losses. They never really got blown out. I like the Indiana Hoosiers. So that's my Final Four, Duke, Ohio State, Florida, and Indiana.
Okay. And who's your champ? Real quick.
Hold on. We'll get there. We'll build it up.
All right.
Who's your Final Four?
Listen, I'm going to tell you. Okay. I got questions with Louisville as well in terms of them being hot, and I think St. Louis is a tough team, but I too have Louisville make it. Well, no, you got Duke. I got Louisville beating Duke, so I got them making it out there. I'm telling you right now, watch out for Pittsburgh. I think they might finally wake up this year, but I do have Wisconsin going up against Ohio State, and you know I love Wisconsin, but Aaron Kraft proved something to me. And I think he's got the offense and defense and the heart of a lion. I think Ohio State will make it. On the other side, I'm going with the big dogs. I think it goes 1-2. I love Miami. I picked them in plenty of brackets. But in my official bracket for the show, I got Indiana edging out Miami just because Victor O, that's my man. And I think Yogi is, you know, goes up against Shane, sophomore against freshman. But I just think they do enough. And Zeller and Wofford, I just think Indiana's tough. And then, you know, this one's hard. I like Georgetown, but I had to go with Florida. And I think North Carolina could get an upset, but I had to go with Kansas and the talent. But I just think at the end of the day, I think Kansas will wind up beating VCU. I think VCU's got something for Michigan. So I got Kansas, but I got Kansas losing to your team, Florida. I think even though they lost Ole Miss, I think Florida is – they're tough, and I just love the coach. Billy Donovan, Patino, Tom Crean, and Mata. I'm going with the coaches. So for me, in my chip, you know, we got similar Final Fours, but I got Louisville beating Indiana. And my final game, that's Tate's pick, 77-74. Louisville does enough, Smith, and it's Hancock. Hancock's the difference maker. I just think that they're a little bit better shooting, and I got Louisville beating Indiana in the chip.
You got Patino cutting down the nets again. Okay. So they're 1-2 overall in the tournament, aren't they?
In the chip?
No, I'm saying Louisville's the number one overall ranked team, and Indiana's the number two overall ranked team, right?
Yes.
Of the number one, or is it Kansas? Number
no,
anyway,
no,
whatever.
No.
So
it was
you
Kansas.
Got two number
Indiana,
ones going at it.
Yeah, Indiana was the third number one. Exactly.
Third, okay. So I actually have Indiana beating Florida, and then I have Duke beating Ohio State, and I have an Indiana-Duke final with Indiana winning. So I think at the end of the day, these were the two best teams over the course of the season, and I got Indiana beating Duke 76-73 in the final game.
I just want to say this, man. Watch my man. I tell you about Izzo and Bo Ryan. I wouldn't be surprised if either one of them go all the way either because – I think Michigan State is going to take Duke out. I don't trust Plumlee. He disappears. I love Kelly. And the shooting with Cook and Seth Curry is not consistent enough, man. But listen, tomorrow it tips off, baby. Plane. He's going to miss some of it. I'm going to be sending you some
texts. I'm
going
to log in. March Madness on demand on
you
the
better,
internet.
Man.
At 35,000 feet.
And, you know, being out here in the West Coast, man, I am going to be watching it from like 9 o'clock in the morning to 9 at night. I already told my wife, I'm busy.
Don't talk to me.
So listen, these top seeded teams, the perfect segue to get out of here. I'm rocking some Be Careful by E Complete because these top seeded teams, Be Careful. And one of my upset specials, you got Davidson. Watch out, Butler. Bucknell's coming for you.
All right. Ray and Tate today. Let the madness begin. We'll see you on
Friday.
Yeah,
we'll see you Friday.
Mind. How can we really see when our eyes are blinded to what we really need? They control our minds.